League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Let's begin.
This is the boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that.
And welcome in, everybody. It is a great Monday night. I'm David Gow, sitting next to the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson. How are you?
I am so good. That was the best college football Saturday of the whole season for me.
A great college football Saturday. We've got Jose behind the glass. ¿Cómo estás tú?
I'm doing really well, actually. I had the best chocolate chip cookie I've ever had.
Yes.
Oh, earlier are this y'all afternoon. Making me feel guilty because you left me out and stuff?
Oh, gosh. We knew you didn't eat that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football
later, boys.
Has the marquee matchup of the year. This is probably the best Monday Night Football game of the season, I think. 49ers-Seahawks in San Francisco.
The only undefeated team in the NFL in San Francisco. Are they going to remain in a couple hours?
I actually would say no. I think Russell Wilson and company are going to make their way out of San Francisco with a win. I just have a gut instinct about this one.
Huh. Well, I'm just going to remind you that on our other show, First and 10, on Thursday mornings, I did pick the Raiders by 3 in the black hole when you took the Chargers. And, oh my gosh, look at that. Raiders by 2.
She's still sour that I went against her team, Jose. I'm sure of it. Congrats to the rookies of the year named here in Major League Baseball. Pete Alonso and Yordan Alvarez of the Astros. Yordan was a unanimous vote.
Unanimous.
Just an amazing season he had. Both of them did. Really deserving of their awards today.
No, absolutely. And the long ball is very important for both of them. And Pete Alonso with the Mets. And Jose, did you see the unanimous vote coming for Yordan?
No, and not because he didn't deserve it, but because I thought someone else would vote in a different direction, because that's how things tend to go with writers.
No,
you can never get unanimous on anything,
right.
And that's so impressive. When we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Dennis Erickson. He is the former head coach of both the 49ers and the Seahawks, the two teams playing tonight. He is also the head coach of the University of Miami Hurricanes, where he won two national championships. It'll be Dennis Erickson. We'll ask him about tonight's matchup.
He coached both those teams, and he coached for 47 years.
An amazing record. Dennis Erickson next on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on SB Nation Radio is former coach Dennis Erickson, a two-time national championship coach with the Miami Hurricanes. And we are delighted to have you. Coach, thanks for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
Yeah, it's good to be with you guys. I was out watching the snow today, so I live in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, so it's a little cold around here.
I would think so. Well, a big game tonight. We're excited for this matchup, 49ers and Seahawks. And, of course, these are two NFL teams that you coached. Love to ask you about this matchup. Let's start with the San Francisco defense. So impressive on the front seven. What are you seeing there? What do you see from that defensive side of the ball with San Francisco?
Yeah, without a question, that's really where they built the difference in where they were and where they're at now. And they get such a great pass rush and just play hard all the time. I mean, they're a heck of a defense. Got some great players there. And like I said, that's the biggest turnaround the 49ers have had in the last year.
And, Dennis, you're two former teams that are numbers 1 and 2 in the NFC West, going at it tonight. Jimmy G under center for the 49ers. Do you see him as more than a game manager, especially tonight with the return of offensive tackles Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey? What do you see out of Jimmy G? Do you see him getting better each game?
Yeah, without a question. Obviously, he had an injury a year ago and it made a difference, you know, with the 49ers. But I've watched him play, and, you know, he manages the game real well, but he's got a lot of talent, too. And when he has people in front of him, you know, like he has had, and he's got some receivers that are playing extremely well for him. I just like him. He's a winner. He understands the game. He sees the game really well. And it's going to be a heck of a football game with him at quarterback and then with Russell with the Seahawks.
So let's talk about Russell Wilson. Many people have him on the short list for MVP. Where do you think he ranks among the top quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, that's kind of a tough question. There's so many good ones out there. But year in and year out, he's been one of the top two or three every year. And he just makes things happen. I mean, he's a playmaker. You watch him this year. There were games that probably they should have lost but didn't because of him. He gets in situations where he's got to win a football game, and he does. You know, to me, he's one of the best in the NFL and has proven that this year. And talk about an MVP. I think he has a great chance of doing that. Obviously, it's a long season, but he just makes plays. I mean, he gets out of the pocket. And there's a rush on him. He throws it down the football field. I really admire him. In my opinion, he might be the best guy playing this year.
So, Dennis, you talked about, and you rightfully brought up the point of Jimmy G and both Russell Wilson being great leaders on and off the field for their team. Are the Seahawks more than just the brilliance of Russell Wilson? Because you look at this defense that's ranked at the bottom of the NFL. They're 22nd in points allowed and 25th in yards allowed. Is this team more than Russell Wilson, and are we going to see it exposed tonight?
Yeah, I think I don't know if it's going to be exposed, but you're going to see, you know, where Seattle is defensively. There's no question about it. So Russell makes a lot of plays, but they've got some really good players on defense that run around and make some plays. Obviously, that's Coach Carroll's baby playing as far as the defense is concerned, and they have a good plan, and they'll do what they got to do. But I think they got to play team defense. I don't know that they have one guy that really stands out. Now, they probably have a couple, but tonight they're going to all have to play good. They're going to all have to be disciplined, you know, keep the quarterback in the pocket, and probably more than anything, they got to really be able to find a running game against the 49ers.
So, Dennis, if we could talk you out of retirement and come back to coach an NFL team today, what would be your preference for a starting quarterback? Would you want one of the mobile, more agile quarterbacks or a pocket passer? From your experience and what you're seeing today, what would you like?
Well, you know, the game's changed a lot. The pocket passer was what it was for a long time. And now you got to have a great athlete that can move around. The rush is so good in the National Football League. That's probably the biggest difference between college football and the NFL is just the rush of the defense, the defensive ends that you got to block with offensive tackles. So, again, to me, there's more qualities than just one thing. But if you have a guy that can move around, that's a competitor, can make things happen, you know, when things are perfect, that's the kind of guy you want to have at quarterback, and I see it going that way probably more than it ever has.
We're talking to former coach Dennis Erickson. He's a two-time national championship coach with the Miami Hurricanes. Let's shift gears to the college leagues. So Ed Orgeron coached under you and had a pretty big weekend this weekend for LSU. What did you see in him when he was coaching underneath you?
Just what you see. I mean, he's a fiery guy, competitive guy, really believes in his players. He loves coaching ball. He was a great coach for me, coached the defensive front when I was at the University of Miami. But, you know, what he brings is what he is. I mean, he's that type of guy. And I'll tell you what, it was fun watching him against Alabama. It's been fun watching him all the time in his career. And it's a perfect fit for him. You know, he's from Louisiana. He brings a Louisiana twang. And he's a perfect fit for them. And I'll tell you what, you talk about two really good football teams the other night. There really was. But Burrow's a quarterback. He was a difference in that game. Tua played good. He was hurt. Obviously, you could tell that. But he made a lot of plays, too. And two great football teams, and LSU won. And who knows what's going to happen when the playoffs start.
It was so interesting watching LSU's offense. I had to rub my eyes, as I have all season, seeing that kind of offense with Joe Burrow and what he does. And Joe Brady, the job he's done in running that offense. Does it strike you that this is the top offense that we're seeing this year? The best offense LSU has had in a long time.
Yeah, without a question. The biggest thing is Coach O changed. He changed the philosophy. And, you know, he's spreading it out and throwing the football a little bit more, which is opening the running game up. And they're just playing better on offense. They just create more problems for the defense. So one thing about LSU is they'll always have skill. They'll always have skill out of the state of Louisiana. Take advantage of it, and that's what he's done. And Burrow, like I said, he is he's special. He's tough. He's competitive. He makes plays. And he's a big difference.
And I think it really highlights, too, Dennis, the importance of the right offensive coordinator. And bringing in Joe Brady was obviously a game changer for LSU and for Joe Burrow.
Now, yeah, without a question. Without a question. And, you know, Ed's smart enough to know what it takes to win. He's been on the other side of the ball most of his career, but he knows what hurts you. And yeah, to me, that was the biggest hire that they could have made, because they've always been kind of conservative with that kind of talent, and now they've opened it up.
And you look at from last year to this year, a 29-0 Alabama beatdown on LSU last year in Tiger Stadium, too. This great win this weekend. What a great advertisement for that program and for what Joe Brady's doing.
Yeah, without a question. And I'm sure with Joe doing what he's done this year, he may get a head coaching job. You know, I mean, he's that kind of coach. But, it's to me, it's just finding out what fits a program offensively and what kind of athletes you can get. And what we see right now on offense at LSU is what fits LSU.
Speaking of what fits a program, I want to take you back to your national championship years at the University of Miami. What do you remember most about those years, and what made those two teams, I mean, reach that level, natty champs? How did you do that?
Well, obviously, Howard was in there before me, and Jimmy was there before me. And the thing that we took advantage of at the University of Miami is we were able to keep most of the players from South Florida at the University of Miami. So we always had skill. We always had guys that ran very fast. And so we took advantage of that. I don't know that is happening now. Some of them are leaving South Florida, going to Alabama, LSU, different places. But the biggest thing is we had really good athletes, but they love playing the game of football. One thing I learned when I went there was how much those players enjoyed playing the game, how much they enjoyed practicing. I learned a lot from them, and it was a different world then. At that time, the University of Miami was like Alabama or LSU now. They're getting back that way. It's going to take some time, but they'll get there.
Former head coach Dennis Erickson. Dennis, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, it is hard not to talk about that extraordinary college football weekend that was Alabama LSU, obviously the headline game, but there were many others.
It lived up to its billing.
And it did. It was just tremendous. I came away so impressed by Joe Burrow. To me, he won the game. He also won the Heisman Trophy. I don't think we've seen a game like that from a quarterback this season, and not really in a long time.
I mean, look at his numbers. 393 yards, 3 TDs, 0 interceptions. Oh, yeah, and you might add in 64 rushing yards while you're at it, too.
And there was so much...
Against an Alabama defense.
I know, an Alabama defense with all the talent that is. And he had the pressure that Tua brought Alabama back into the game. I know they got the big lead at half, but Alabama kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And that final drive to really run out the clock was a pressure-filled drive on the road. I mean, think of that win.
Yeah, on the road. That's an important thing to think about, that the committee tomorrow night when they do their second rendition of the college football playoff rankings should take into consideration going into Tuscaloosa. When you look at what a difference, and we talked about this a little bit with Dennis Erickson last segment, what a difference a year makes, or shall we say what a difference an offensive coordinator makes. When last year, Joe Burrow was just the quarterback for LSU.
Sort of a game manager type.
A game manager. Yeah. And got beat down 29-0 at LSU last year by Alabama. They go into Tuscaloosa, and the Joe Burrow, goes and sticks on a 46-41 win in Tuscaloosa. And LSU led 33-13 at the half. You know, credit, you know, that last fury by Alabama. I mean, Tua overall, 418 yards and 4 TDs is pretty darn impressive. But he did not look himself. And I think Alabama getting down early is a little bit of their kryptonite.
Well, it's hard to find kryptonite with that team.
I know.
But they have gotten down early a couple times, and they did last year against Clemson. I just found, I mean, there was so much talent on that field. It's interesting, there were a record number of NFL scouts who attended that game.
Of course.
And of course, why not? Even the owner of the Dolphins showed up because, well, he might have Tua,
Stephen
he
Ross,
might have Joe
I
Burrow.
Love that.
Of course, he should be there. This is a big time deal, big time decision. Absolutely lived up to its billing, and there may be an opportunity for a rematch. Let's come back to that in a minute if they both make the CFP.
And, you know, LSU broke an 8-game hex. They have not beat Alabama since 2011. So all you Tiger fans out there who are a little tepid about the Orgeron hire, give him all the props because he has brought a great culture to LSU and he has hired the right guy to develop his quarterback.
Yeah,
and
the only risk now with Joe Brady is that he leaves.
Yeah.
I mean, he's drawn a lot of attention.
Good point.
Orgeron's going to have a hard time keeping him there at LSU.
Yeah, it'll be tough.
But it has been a great run. Okay, the other extraordinary game, and I'm going to give you some props on this one. Minnesota, undefeated Minnesota, beating Penn State 31-26. And the reason I give you props, of course, is you were livid that Penn State got the number 4 ranking. You felt Clemson should have been there.
I did.
You felt Penn State was right for a fall. I did not see Penn State falling to Minnesota, of all people. But they did. They've fallen, and now they're out of the top 4.
No, it's so true. And you credit P.J. Fleck and how he's got these guys. They're off to a 9-0 start, the Minnesota Gophers. And what they did, they picked on Penn State's secondary selectively. And they didn't fall for any of the Lions' misdirections. They forced Penn State to have to win this game straight up. And Penn State couldn't do it. And they had their first red zone interception in the final drive. It was quite a game. And it was in Minnesota, but wow, what a great win for that program and for PJ Fleck. And who knows? They've gone from 17 up to, what are they now? In the AP, 10, I think?
Yeah, I had them at 9 in my head, but I'll tell you, I mean, it all comes down to, obviously, is there any
seven.
Way?
They went
they've gone away to
in
7.
In the AP from 17 to 7, wow.
Well, and noted.
Or 13 to 7, yeah.
They are on track to play in the Big Ten championship game. They will likely face Ohio State there. And I think that may be when Cinderella is no longer. I mean, I think Ohio State will certainly win the Big Ten and Minnesota will fall. But what a great run it has been and what a great win over Penn State.
It was just a massive upset in the Big Ten battle of the unbeatens. It was a great game. 31-26. I'm so glad I watched it. It was my favorite game this weekend.
So Ohio State took care of business against Maryland 73-14. The big story there was not the game, but the fact that defensive end Chase Young is going to receive what looks to be a 4-game suspension from accepting a loan from family, or family friend, I should say, to take his girlfriend to see their game of the Rose Bowl last year. That seems to me is a very heavy-handed, hard punishment for a somewhat benign encounter.
And he has repaid the loan.
That's also notable.
That's
right. And it wasn't a part of any recruiting. It wasn't like he's driving a Maserati around campus. He just wanted his girlfriend to come to the game last year.
Herein highlights issues with the NCAA.
Oh, does it ever? I mean, that is something that, well, if Jose here wanted to bring his girlfriend to Radio Row.
First of all, would have to approve of her because Jose is a rock star and he cannot date just anybody.
Well, I know.
He's going to have to get by me.
Well, you are his life coach.
That's right.
And so, Jose, you cannot date anybody that Carla does not approve. You understand, right?
I've been told time and time again, yes.
Okay, good.
They have to be vetted.
If we're all going, we're all going to Radio World, we're all going to the NFL draft, and you want to bring your girlfriend along, but you can't afford to take her, and Carla wants to lend you money, is there a problem? See, this happens every day in America, right?
I don't think that'd be a problem. Would that be a problem,
Glenn? No, I would do it for you, Jose. If I like her, I'll spot you.
We'll suspend you for the trip. I mean, this is just the ridiculousness. And
I know.
Chase Young is not just an ordinary player. He is the guy, perhaps the best player in all of college football right now, a huge setback for Ohio State.
No, it didn't set them back as far as the game, clearly. But, you know, it was interesting to note that Rob Mullen, who's the chair of the College Football Playoff Committee, when he was giving out his rankings last week, I mean, they rarely mention an individual player, and he called out the exceptional play of Chase Young.
Well, I mean,
before this broke, they have him.
They have Justin Fields on the offensive side. They've got some firepower.
Oof,
I think Ohio State goes on to win the Big Ten. In the Big 12, there were two really exciting matchups between, probably the two best teams in the Big 12. Baylor beating TCU in overtime, a triple overtime. Amazing. And then OU surviving a scare from Iowa State. It was 42-41. And so both those teams are now really coming to a clash in the Big 12. Baylor still undefeated, hard to believe. Oklahoma with one loss.
Well, and Baylor's got matchups coming up with OU and Texas. And honestly, I mean, yes, Baylor is the only undefeated team left in the Big 12. The Big 12, I think, out of all the Power Fives, is the weakest of the Power Five conferences. And most of their wins, Texas Tech, it was a double overtime. TCU, triple overtime. And a lot of close calls, less than one score. So I don't see Baylor as a real force at this point. If they go through OU and Texas, then we're talking a different game.
Well, and then they'd have to win the Big 12 championship game to get any consideration to go to the Final Four. So, no, I mean, the best chance for the Big 12 to sneak in is Oklahoma runs the table
here. They're
going
to need some help.
They would be a Big 12 champion with one loss, and they might have a shot at that fourth spot. So let's just take stock of where we are and what seems to be where we're headed with the Final Four teams. It would seem that the first three spots would go to the SEC champion, whomever that is, presumably LSU or Georgia. The ACC champion, if Clemson wins out, will get there. Clemson will be in. And then the Big Ten champion, I'm assuming, would be Ohio State. Those three, presumably, are the three that get in. And then the mystery will be who gets the fourth slot. And you'll have, presumably, about three or four one-loss teams, each with a claim. Alabama will be one of those one-loss teams. And Alabama's best claim will be not that they won a conference championship, because they wouldn't in this scenario, but Alabama could claim we had the best loss of the year against LSU. And we faced LSU and lost LSU when our quarterback was not 100%. Give us a shot with a quarterback at 100%, and we're as good as anybody in the country. That's the Alabama argument.
The interesting thing will be to see if Tua is able to get to 100%. Because this ankle surgery that he had 20 days before he took the field in the LSU game, the average, you know, recovery time is 3 to 5 months. And this guy was on here in less than 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's not 100% now.
No.
And with Auburn looming, it's not like they can sit him and rest him and get him all healthy.
No, not at all.
Okay, so Alabama will have a claim with one loss to get right back into the Final Four, get that fourth spot.
And I think the committee is going to lean towards Alabama, and it's the two R's that are going to do it, ratings and revenue.
All right.
I hate to say it. I hope that's not true. But if they deserve to be in, play in. But don't let those two factors. It's hard, though. College football is a business.
Well, I want to lift up two other considerations. One is a Pac-12 champion named Oregon, if they get there, with one loss. And the one loss was a narrow loss.
To Auburn, first week.
Auburn,
week
a
one.
Quality loss as well. And you got the cachet of Justin Herbert coming and playing in the Final Four, which would be great for college football.
No, it's very true. Although, you know, I'm a Pac-12 girl, and I know I was a Pac-10 girl at the time. That gives away my age. I should not talk about that. But the West does not typically get the respect that it deserves. But we haven't even got to talk about Clemson. So I can't let the night go. We might have to in one of our segments, just talk about what Clemson did this weekend.
Well, Clemson won big and is almost assuredly on track to be in the Final Four with this week's ratings.
Yeah,
or
we'll
rankings.
See tomorrow.
And I guess the last consideration would be OU if it finishes the Big 12 champ with one loss. It will be interesting times. See you, Peggy. When we come back, we'll be looking at the NFL.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Jose, when I look at Carla today, she looks a little perky. She's sitting up a little differently. She looks awfully comfortable.
That's what a Raider win will do for me.
I think it's a little more than your Raider win. We've been seeing Raider wins the last few weeks. No, I know what that looks like. This is something more. Talk to me, Jose. Do you see it? Do you see it?
Maybe it's the coat. It's the coat, but maybe it's something else.
No. Oh, my gosh. What's underneath your butt? She's sitting on something. And it's changed everything in the room.
I'm just going to give you one clue. Purple.
Purple. I got it.
Are you wearing purple pants?
No, that
it's
I can assure
Jose.
You.
Better, Jose. Better than purple pants. If you can even imagine.
She is sitting on a purple seat cushion.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Well, mostly buts. And the punchline is every butt needs a good cushion, and you can get one at Purple Seat Cushion. I'm telling you, if you get one of these, you put it underneath it, it conforms to your derriere, it makes you comfortable, and it makes you sit up perky like Carla.
I would say that it, like, instantly I noticed it adapted to my body and my booty. Love the Purple Seat Cushion.
Tell me more, please.
Well, Jose knows he's been coming to hip hop with me. We're all about the booty, so we've got to take care of that.
So this cushion conforms.
Purple does it.
This conforms to a hip hop booty. Is that right?
Yes, it does.
Well done. All right, no buts about it. Go to purple.com/seat cushions. The seat is soft where you want it and firm where you need it, and it's cool all over.
And 30-day trial. If you don't like it, if your booty doesn't like it, it can go back. Free shipping and returns from purple.com.
There it is, purple.com/seat cushions. You heard it straight from Carla, who looks very happy.
My booty's happy.
All right, let's talk a little NFL. That Cowboys-Vikings game.
I am sorry. I knew that was a rough night for you last night, David, our resident Cowboy expert.
Well, Cowboy fan, but frustrated Cowboy fan. Yeah. It was really one of the better matchups of the weekend. In Dallas, you would have thought that Dallas could pull that one out. Minnesota played very well. I will say that there were some things as a Cowboy fan that really stood out to me as particularly frustrating. And yes, the play calling in the last drive after moving down the field, pass, Prescott, to hand the ball off to Elliott a couple of times when Elliott had not been able to get any momentum all night, thanks to a great Minnesota defense and a firm commitment to stop the run.
20 rushes for 47 yards.
Yeah, that's
is that
not
playing to a $90 million contract?
That's not an Elliott deal.
Ooh.
But look, the Vikings had 8 men up in the box. They were so
they
committed to the run.
Right.
And so that enabled a lot of great pass plays. And the connection between Prescott and Cooper was good all day. Randall Cobb had his best day of the season as a Cowboy. They were moving the ball, and to hand the ball off to Elliott late there obviously was the wrong move.
I think Dak Prescott also had one of his best games as a Dallas Cowboy. And I think, you know, why weren't they calling his number?
Yeah. Well, you know what? And with him, you could do a bootleg, roll him out. I mean, they needed just a few yards there, give him the chance to run or throw. That is so hard to defend. And yet they just did a traditional handoff to Elliott. So that was my gripe, number one. I guess the second thing on the Cowboys side that I did not understand is with their talent on defense, with their great linebackers, how they were vulnerable all night long to the screen pass. And it goes back actually a couple of games. Recall the Giants with Saquon Barkley ran the screen pass effectively. The screen has been a play that
they
the Cowboys have never been able to fix. And last night, Dalvin Cook was catching screen passes out of that backfield all day. And it would seem that the Cowboys had no answer for it and did not make any adjustments week to week.
And let's also, I hate to throw salt on the wound, but Minnesota did not have their lead receiver in Adam Thielen.
Yeah, who could have stretched the field, taken people downfield, and then made the screen even more effective. The curious thing to me is the Cowboys often were in a 4-3. They had all three of their elite linebackers on the field, Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, and Sean Lee. And yet, they really struggled to stop Dalvin Cook on both the run and the screen.
I just don't think that you can be a postseason, you can't be a contender if you don't know how to stop the run. You have got, in this day's NFL, you have got to know how to stop the run.
Well, see, my view of that is they've got the talent. I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence is a good pass rusher, but he's very good against the run. And you've got Robert Quinn, who's more of a pass rusher. They've got some quality defensive tackles in there. Picking up Bennett was a good addition. And then, of course, they've got Antoine Woods and Malik Collins. And then the three gold-plated linebackers. I don't understand. I just can't see it as the talent. I see it more as the scheme. If you read some analysts, they would say, oh, Cowboys are struggling with gap control. But that's been the case all season long.
Well, I think the point that you are bringing up here is that I think you're right. If you look at that Cowboys roster on both sides of the ball, lots of talent and lots of young talent combined with a few veterans like Sean Lee on the defensive end, Jason Witten on the offensive end. Yet the Cowboys, I could say last night, were a disaster in game management, play calling, and coaching. To me, the slow start that they continue to have week after week, I mean, they were down 14-0 after the first quarter. That's on the head coach and your OC. So I think all of these things that I think that they're a disaster in game management, play calling, and the coaching, that's all on the coaching staff.
Well,
that's
it is
not
one
on
of
the talent.
I mean, the Cowboys every week have started slowly. That is
can't
a
do that in the NFL.
Theme. They did it against the Packers. They did it against the Jets, against the Giants, and last night against the Vikings, down 14-0. So basically, they gave up the first quarter, and they're thinking, well, we can play three against your four and still win, and that's just fool's gold. I actually think, I may be out on a limb here, but I think there's something, the Cowboys' home court advantage, home field advantage, has not been exceptional. And that stadium, when you're there and you see the Cowboys come out, there are dancing bears and lights and streams, and it's almost like
it's a show.
It's a party. And I don't know if it's great pregame prep to be running into a party, high-fiving and cheerleaders dancing up on stages up above you. I know this is degrees. I know it happens in every stadium around the league, but it's amped up in Jerry World, and they were not focused from day one, not from snap one. It wasn't until they got behind that they finally buckled down and started playing football.
Well, and I think here is the difference in last night. Exactly what you said. The Vikings came to play for four quarters. The Cowboys came to play for three.
Right.
And the difference of that quarter is going to bite you. You know, and credit the Vikings. Hey, Kirk Cousins has needed to prove that he can win in the primetime games. And three of their next five are on Sunday and Monday nights. And he started that campaign last night at the hands of your Cowboys. And I'm sorry about that.
Well, he executed quite well. Cook is, of course, a stud. And Stephon Diggs, I mean, one of his catches was just remarkable. Yeah. And they've got a stout defense. I mean, that Vikings team deserves some consideration. If we were talking college football, this would be a quality loss for the Cowboys because it is a good team in the Vikings. But it's a win that they should have had at home.
Well, and I think what's frustrating is we are talking about the Vikings came ready to play. They looked great on every facet of the ball. But really, Dak Prescott was the better quarterback last night. So that's got to be really frustrating. And that's why, to me, it points to coaching.
Hey,
that they can't get that out of there. And I also want to credit Dak, not only for his on-field, he could have, in that post-game presser, really criticized the play calling that did not put them in a position to win at the end with the run and then the pass to Ezekiel Elliott as the game clock is expiring. He was a great leader. He did not call out his head coach. He did not call out his QB coach. He didn't call out the play calling. He let the media go ahead and do that, which is what we're doing now. He's class personified. That is a leader on the field and off the field. That man needs to be paid. He is who Dallas needs to hang their hat on. Get some good coaching for this guy.
Well, I think Jason Garrett is on a short leash now. I mean, unless they turn it around and win their division and advance at least a game or two into the playoffs, I think that's the hurdle he's got to cover.
And what do you think about Kellen Moore?
I just don't see it. No, Kellen Moore is bundled in there. Kellen Moore's play calling last night was very questionable. He's Jason Garrett's guy. And so, yes, right now I can't speak highly of the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and I think there are even questions about the way that defense was run last night. So
agree.
Unless there's a radical turnaround, yeah, there could be a house cleaning in Dallas.
Yeah, they made Dalvin Cook look like the $100 million running back last night. And he is an outstanding running back. But the Cowboys have the personnel to have been able to stop him.
Yeah, they didn't tackle well. They were out of position. Go on and go on and go on. It just continues. And coaching is probably the issue there. I'll tell you where coaching is not a problem. In fact, a real strength is Mike Tomlin and the job he's done with Pittsburgh.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yes.
It was the opposite day yesterday in the Rams-Steelers game. The Rams starting out with a 3-0 start and then being terrible, 1-5 in their next six. And the Steelers starting out 0-3 and then winning four consecutive. What a turnaround.
Yeah, the genius, Sean McVay, falling to Mike Tomlin, who has never really, I think, gotten the recognition he deserves.
Oh.
But look at that team right now, what he has done for that Steelers team. With all the attrition of players, because you can go back to, of course, losing the talent of Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell.
And Ben Roethlisberger.
And, of course, then Roethlisberger's injury. And yet, here they sit. They are, well, the 17-12 victory over the Rams. And the Steelers are in the thick of the playoffs now.
They really are. I mean, you know, credit, yes. I think I love that you mentioned Mike Tomlin's coaching. That has kept this ship together because they've got Mason Rudolph in for quarterback. And he is a decent quarterback, but I think he's really more of a better backup in the NFL. But you look at the pickups of Devin Bush and Minkah Fitzpatrick. Can we just talk about Minkah Fitzpatrick for a minute? Good gosh, he is a machine, a force to be reckoned with. I would say my front runner for defensive player of the year right now.
Well, he's certainly deserving. And then, of course, those two guys are new to the team, Bush and Fitzpatrick. And they've got a guy named T.J. Watt who's got 9.5 sacks.
Yes.
So strong defense has certainly led that team. It's an old school Steelers team that way. Amazingly, if the playoffs were to start today, Pittsburgh would be the sixth seed in the AFC. An amazing thing. They would be a wild card team. And that's today. Their next six foes are combined 17 wins and 37 losses. So they're going to face Cleveland, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Arizona, Buffalo, and the Jets.
Oh.
I mean, they have a shot.
Pittsburgh
really does. After starting
0-3,
they could go the distance. Incredible turn of events in Pittsburgh. Now, the other side of the coin, as you said, it's opposite day. The Rams, after starting 3-0, are now 5-4. In their last six games, the Rams have only won one time. What has happened to the Rams?
Oh, they're in trouble. You know what I think has really happened? I think that it's truth serum for Jared Goff.
Right.
I really do. I mean, I watched him play in college. I thought he was a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. Obviously, with Jeff Fisher, that was not a good match at all. He was looking like the biggest bust ever. Credit Sean McVay for resurrecting Jared Goff. But now that NFL defenses have a book on him, opposing coaches have a book on him, he has been on a streak of five straight sub-60% passing games. He's got five touchdown passes in five games. And think about this. Yesterday, the Rams had three turnovers in their first 10 possessions versus the Steelers. So Jared Goff is declining. His numbers are not good. They are moving in the wrong direction. I think that's one of the main things.
Well, and can you read this stat? I mean, Cooper Kupp, his favorite receiver.
Oh, my gosh.
Was totally erased.
That was very
zero
unusual.
Catches.
Right.
Yeah. And Gurley's not running the ball as he is. Rams, 1-5 in the last six, just a devastating stretch for them, and I don't know if they're going to be able to recover in their division. Really intriguing saga.
No, because look who's coming up on the Rams schedule. The Ravens, the Seahawks, your Cowboys, and the 49ers. Right now, they're a game and a half behind six-seed Minnesota, but that's a heady, heady set that's coming ahead. Geek.
When we come back, we'll take a look at the AFC West. Kansas City falling, Raiders rising.
What was that?
We'll be right back on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. Monday Night Football well underway. 49ers leading 10-0 now. So your prediction is thus far on track.
It's early.
It's early. It is, in fact, early
second quarter. Just
second
started.
Quarter, right. Steelers or 49ers with the ball, 3rd and 8. So, yes, it is very early in that one. Now, the amazing game yesterday, the biggest stunning upset. Well, the Saints lost
a
big upset. But I was headed toward the Chiefs, who had Patrick Mahomes back and had him playing very, very well.
He looked good.
And yet fell to the Titans, of all people, who were led by their great rushing attack. I mean, Derrick Henry was outstanding. And I guess when you look at it week after week after week, the Chiefs are soft on defense and vulnerable to the run.
And it's become a liability for them. The Chiefs' defense is a liability. They made Ryan Tannehill look like a star. However, credit Ryan Tannehill. The Titans are 3-1 when he gets the start, when he's under center. That's pretty impressive.
Well, the issue, of course, with Tannehill for so long has just been injuries.
Injuries, yeah.
I don't know if we've ever really seen a healthy Tannehill and on a team that had pieces around him.
Right.
And
meaning the Dolphins.
No quarterback without his health or without good pieces around him is going to excel. Now he's playing for a team and he's healthy and he has some pieces. I mean, Derrick Henry and that running attack was certainly a great compliment to what he had to do passing-wise.
And Tannehill, do you know this? He has 3 game-winning drives in the last 3 games. Credit him. He's great under pressure.
All right, more to come. We'll look at whether the AFC West is now in jeopardy, whether the Chiefs could fall to the Raiders when we return on SB Nation Radio.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.